Today, Canada and many other Commonwealth countries are observing Remembrance Day, remembering the sacrifice of those who they gave their lives in their own causes in the First World War. And even in the U.S., it's known as the Veterans Day. I just wanted to like to take this opportunity to revisit this issue of remembrance. Because sometimes I, get questions or even criticism that, why do we have to always recite or remember the history of the Prophet and the Imams? Well, if it's the Viladat of the eighth Imam, we'll talk about the eighth Imam. If it's Shahadat of the 11th Imam, we'll talk about the 11th Imam. And and so, they say, well, you should be talking more about our issues. And this is where I have to, emphasize, and I try my best to make the theme of that day relevant to the occasion. If it is the day for the 6th Imam, we talk about the 6th Imam. However, it's not just that we talk about history. We try to relate to some of the events, learning things for ourselves during our own time, in our own environment. And this is where I think it's important for us to understand this phenomenon of remembering. Go and ask the Canadians, for example, why do we have to have this Remembrance Day for an event which took place almost a century ago? Why do we do that? And I think a very good way of explaining that would be to use words of the one of the Canadian philosophers, where she talks about this issue, where she says, look at the Latin origin of the word respect. The word respect in English comes from Latin. And she says, if you look at the literal meaning of it, what it means is to look back. In a sense, if you want respect, you need to look back. You should be proud of your own history and the legacy that you have now. And this is where, you'll be able to gain respect in the society. If you look at the Quran, you will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not only talk about Muslims of the days of Mecca. No, repeatedly you will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the nations who came before. And in many, many places, you'll see even a repetition of the events. In some places, it's more in detail. Some places, just the passing remark. They remember what happened to this nation when they disobeyed me. And so this issue of going back to history is part of the theme of the Quran itself. Again and again and again, if you look at the words, wadhkur, remember this person, remember this nation. And it's more than, 15 to 16 times in the Quran. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the nations where he says, Alam tara, many, many ayat you will see it starts with the words, do not you know? Or sometimes it even says that those are the nations who lived close by to, in your own region. It says you pass by the ruins when you go to travel. Look at it, reflect. And so this issue of reflecting in history and also observing the ruins of the nations who had passed. This is part of the Quranic theme. This is the method that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually has used again and again. And you will see it's not only an intellectual exercise. In Islam, when we talk about remembering the past, at least there is one example where all Muslims will be unanimous, that you actually have to relive that in a symbolic sense. What is Hajj? Whatever you do in Hajj has to do with Mecca, you know, Arafat, Mina. In Mecca, what are you doing? This is the house built by Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam. You know, when you go there, basically, you are not only remembering the events of Ibrahim by reading the ayat in Quran or history, rather you are asked to go. If you have the health and the money, it's wajib to go once. And what do you do there? You don't go just as a tourist. You are told to go and participate in the whole process of tawaf. You know, the whole issue of sa'i. What is sa'i? It's basically, you know, a symbolic way of remembering the sacrifice of a mother. And as the way I would many times have mentioned this, that entire sa'i between Safa and Marwa is celebration of motherhood. Unfortunately, these days, you know, motherhood has been kind of degraded. That a woman doesn't have a career outside the house, she is kind of a, you know, the word housewife has become a very, you know, low term now. Of course, you know, there's a modern version for it, you know, homemaker. But it's still, mentally, it's still considered to be lower than a career woman. And this is where we have to realize that when you do Safa, sa'i between Safa and Marwa, you know, from the Islamic point of view, you are actually celebrating the status of motherhood. Then you go to Mina, the busiest day in the pilgrimage. What do you do there? You know, the whole issue of stoning the pillars. The shaitan is not there. The symbol of shaitan is there. And it is symbolically remembering the struggle that Ibrahim alayhi salam went through. Again, remembrance is coming in there. And now we are being told actively to be part of that process. And, you know, on a symbolic level, of course, it's not just stoning the pillar, remembering Ibrahim stoning the shaitan to move away from the path. But it also, you know, refers to our own ego and desires and arrogance. You can assign, you know, different names to these three pillars about the shaitan within ourselves. And when we are stoning, actually, we are not just stoning the Iblis, we are stoning the shaitan within. And then this whole issue of, you know, the sacrifice in Mina. It is not only to remember what Ibrahim alayhi salam did, rather we are told that, okay, in a symbolic way, you sacrifice an animal. And further, just to, you know, enforce that more or the strengthen that connection, we are told to get rid of our hair for men to shave, for women to trim their hair. It's a symbolic way of saying that I am, you know, letting go a part of me. Although Allah has been very gracious, you know, He's asking us to get rid of the hair, which can regrow anyway, you know. But it is a symbolic way of saying, okay, this is part of your body, and I would like you to get rid of it. And so when we talk about this issue of remembrance, this is part of the, you know, theme of the Quran. And so when we talk about the history of the Prophet and the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, you know, just think of it in a way that you are talking about the lives of the great personalities in Islam, the lives which span from about, you know, 250 plus years. So you have a very rich source of history, a very rich source of experiences that they have gone through. You know, we are talking about how can we relate to the lives of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. You know, if you look at it, all different situations, whether you are looking at the childhood issues, you're talking about youth issues, you're talking about adult life or old age, you will be able to see examples in that history of 200 and 50 years. One example on another. You know, when you look at different situations in life, affluence or poverty, you know, peace time or strife and war. You know, you're looking at the business and trade issues, or you're talking about knowledge and other, you know, qualities which should be in the human beings. Everything you can find examples in the lives of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, alayhimu salatu wasalam. Whether you are in power in the society, or you live as a minority, whether it's a minority which is kind of, you know, free like us, or you're talking about a minority which is being suppressed, all different situations you can see in the lives of the Imams. And this is where, you know, when we talk about history of the Prophet and the Imams, we are not only talking about narrating the events. We are talking about linking the events and learning lessons for ourselves and our own time and environment. Remember that, you know, the Prophet left a legacy for us, which was known as إِنِّي تَارِكُمْ فِيكُمُ السَّقَلَيْنِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَإِطْرَةِ أَهْلُ بَيْتِي, the Quran and the family. And as long as you have both of them with you, you know, you'll never go astray. إن أحسن الحديث كتاب الله العزيز بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوب وهو الغفور الرحيم ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العتوف للعباد بجوده والعواد على المضربين بحلمه ونشهد أن محمدا نبيه وحبيبه سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وآله الداعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة قادة الأمم وأولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة أوصيكم عباد الله بتوبة ما سلف من ذنوبكم. One of the important symbols of Remembrance Day is these poppies that people, you know, pin on their own coats for this day. And again, I would like to relate this to make it relevant to our own rituals. You know, what is that symbol of that flower to do with Remembrance Day? It has nothing to do with the wartime. Actually, it was a flower which was growing plentiful in one of the battlefields, which was the worst of battlefields, especially for the Allied forces in Europe, known as Flanders in Belgium. And since it was growing and plentiful and it was red in color, you know, it became a symbol of the blood sacrificed by the soldiers in that battlefield. And this is where, you know, later on, it was actually a Canadian, you know, doctor, part of the Canadian Army, who made this popular by his poem, which is entitled as We Shall Remember. And that's where the tradition of putting on the poppy became, you know, common all over the Western world. So it has nothing to do with the war, nothing to do with the soldiers who gave their life in that cause. It was just something which grew and somebody just made a poem about it and it became a symbolic issue. This is bid'ah. Bid'ah, in a sense, nothing to do with the events. But it becomes a symbol now. Everyone wears, from our governor general to the ministers and, you know, common people everywhere. And when you look at the rituals that we have about Karbala, you know, many times people say, well, Maulana, none of the Imams did this. You know, we talk about alam, different shapes, different sizes, different forms. You know, this is where we have to realize these are all things which evolve later on. And there is nothing wrong as long as you know what it is. Alam basically represents the flag of Hazrat Abbas, reflecting his loyalty. And wherever you have the flag of Hazrat Abbas, alam of Hazrat Abbas, you also have this, water bag, mashkiza, which symbolizes the suffering of the children in Karbala, thirst. And Abbas is known as As-Saqa, who went to get water. And so this is where we have to realize that these are all symbolic things which have evolved. We don't worship them, but they remind us of different elements of this tragedy of Karbala. The cradle which is taken out. whether there was a cradle there in the caravan or did the Arabs do that in traveling, we don't know. But that cradle symbolizes the innocence of the youngest of the Shuhada of Karbala. And so these all, they are not objects of worship. They are symbols for us. And this is where we have to realize that when we talk about the symbolism in our rituals, this is not something far-fetched, out of the norm. Even people in the modern society have adopted certain things in that way. As long as we understand that, and this will be a better way of explaining to our children what these symbols stand for. And this is where we understand that, Azadari essentially is a religious issue. The Imams have emphasized that. They have practiced that. But how it's being done now, gradually, of course, things have evolved. As long as they are within the bounds of the Sharia, there is no problem in that. And even this process of ziyarat, this is part of what we call the concept of remembrance. Whether we do the ziyarat on a daily basis or weekly basis, or we physically go to the shrines of the Prophet and the Imams, this is in a way to remember them and to strengthen our link with the infallible ones who represented Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this earth. Very similar to things that we do in Mina. And this is where you will be able to understand that these are not the issues, what we might call, bid'at and shirk and this and that. You had to open your mind, look at how human beings, look at things and how things evolve. As long as, again, as I said, it is within the bound of the Sharia, as explained by the Mujtahideen, there should be no problem in that, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala sayyidul mursaleen wa shafi'il mudhunabin nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. وعلى إمام المتقين وأمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله عليه وعلى سيدة النساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها وعلى سيد الشباب أهل الجنة الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة بن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان ما حيا صار البدو والطغيان هادم يا أبنية الشرك والنفاق حاسد فر البغي والشقاق صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آباء الكرام ما اتصلت الليالي والأيام اللهم عجل فرج وصح المخرج واكحل ناظرنا بنظرة منا إليه واجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يديه اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه ذكرى إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. الله أكبر الله